Those who are situated in the mode of goodness act piously according to Vedic injunctions. Thus they are elevated to higher planetary systems where the demigods live. Those who are influenced by the mode of passion engage in various types of productive activities in the planetary systems where human beings live. Similarly, those influenced by the mode of darkness are subjected to various types of misery and live in the animal kingdom. Those who are situated in the mode of goodness, act piously according to Vedic injunctions. Thus they are elevated.
To the higher planetary systems.
Where the demigods live. Those who are influenced by the mode of passion. Engage in various types of productive activities. In the planetary systems. Where human beings live.
Similarly.
Those influenced by the mode of darkness. Are subjected to various types of misery. And live in the animal kingdom. There are three planetary systems: upper, middle, and lower. Those influenced by the mode of goodness are given places in the upper planetary systems: Brahmaloka or Satyaloka, Tapaloka, Janaloka, and Maharloka. Those influenced by the mode of passion are given places in the Purloka and Bhuvarloka. Those influenced by the mode of ignorance are given places in Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Talatala, Mahatala, Rasatala, and Patala, or the animal kingdom. Qualitatively, the living entity is the same as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but because of its forgetfulness, it gets different bodies in different planetary systems. At the present moment, human society is overly influenced by the mode of passion. And consequently, people are engaged in working in big factories. They forget how distressful it is to live in such places. In Bhagavad Gita, such activities are described as ugra karma, that is, distressful activities. Those who utilize the energies of the worker are called capitalists, and those who actually perform the work are called laborers. In actuality, they are both capitalists and the workers are in the modes of passion and ignorance. The result is that there is always a distressful situation. In contrast to these men are those influenced by the mode of goodness, the karmis and gyanis. The karmis, under the direction of the Vedic instructions, try to elevate themselves to higher planetary systems. The gyanis try to merge into the existence of Brahman, the impersonal feature of the Lord. In this way, all classes of living entities in various species of life are existing within this material world. This explains superior and inferior life forms within the material world. So in the translation, several subject matters are given. A lot of numbers, three is there. There's the three planetary systems, middle, upper, and lower. There's also the three modes of material nature. And there's, in our way, we have a lot of threes. Brahma, the Trinity, Brahma, Shiva, Vishnu. So, mainly I will talk about the different planetary system. So we have the different planetary system, and we have where we live. As I'm from this planet, then I'm most concerned about this. About this planet. And the positive, the advantages of living on this planet. We understood that this is the middle section. Where the mode of passion is the predominant of the three modes. You could compare it to like the ground floor where of a building. You can go up and you can go down. You can exit this building by the ground floor again, or by some helicopter up. So we hear how, of course, the verse Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravati Nordina Mamupetya Tukauteya Punarjanmana Vidyate. This is from Bhagavad Gita, where it says, from all these higher and lower planets, in every one of them, you can find birth, death, old age, and disease. The miseries. So, even the highest planet down to the lowest, all these things are found. But the one who comes to me, mamupeto tu kauteya, puna janmana vidyate. So, one who comes to me never takes birth again. Puna janmana vidyate. So we understand there's the main exits to this material building world the ground floor, ground zero, in the lift. And sometimes we hear that you can take a helicopter from Brahmaloka, or you can also go to Krishna's abode from the highest planet. Of course, this is a gradual process. It's often described as a gradual process where you go higher every time, and then reach there, and then go to Krishna. Hopefully. So, since we are on ground floor, ground zero, so our main concern is there, and. We can see this ground floor as a wonderful opportunity, the positive side, let's say, to live on this place. We are very fortunate, really, to be in this position as human beings. We can also go into a mood of thinking, oh, we are not so well situated, or so forth. I could be like, why is it that a lamenting mood can take place in life in general? For example, I could be like, why is it that Ras Manavu found this morning that the verses I prepared is the wrong one? But on the other side, it could be like, wow, how wonderful it is that you told me that early in the morning, so I still could prepare for it. So there's that side to it, and there's enough reasons why it is very wonderfully situated here on Ground Zero, just after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has appeared, only 500 years after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for all Brahma, this is maybe a blink, you know, between us and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even like in our history, Christoph Columbus, you know, that's like so close, really. You know. And we heard that some Portuguese heard about the golden man in India when they came to India around that time. It's also around that time that Christoph Columbus wanted to find India and do the spices search. So it's really recent. The point is that it's very recent, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance here, and the opportunity we have to have so recent connection. We are also even more recent is Srila Prabhupada, who has brought this abroad, and in a few hundred years, then we'll be, now we have so much opportunity to do this service. There are places, there are villages that aren't our devotees fully yet. So there's, and there are countries, and there are cities, which we can be doing the pioneering work, which is very blissful, which is given where we receive a lot of mercy. Like we hear, that's the reason why actually, I mean, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we could, if he wanted, he could have just, like this, with a blink of his eye, he could make the whole world Krishna conscious. But, like how Krishna did to Arjuna, he wanted to give Arjuna the honor of, killing the enemies, and he wanted Arjuna to be the hero. So now we have got the opportunity to be the heroes. And there's enough places. Where we can do so much. Yeah, there's so much enough service. We know that there's enough service and a lot of pioneering work. And with this pioneering work comes a lot of mercy. The devotees who have done it, we see, you know, how ecstatic one becomes with this pioneering work, this preaching work. The devotees. Beginning days, they used to knew no bounds and no limits, and very ecstatic, very positive. Thinking like, in 6 months we'll make it, the whole Europe of Krishna conscious, and like things like that. So that's one of the wonderful aspects of our situation at the moment here on planet Earth. Ground Zero, and another thing is, we might say, "Oh, it's not so comfortable." I mean, here it is, but life on this planet is not always so wonderful, so comfortable. There's these problems, but at the same time, as in the situation of finding out that I was the wrong verse, you can see it as Krishna's mercy and as a push to our, let's give a problem, for example, some old age we heard previously, how there is actually a blessing, really. So the troubles of this this planet we live here, they really can be seen as blessings. They are actually blessings in disguise. And it is a perfect situation for actually nurturing Krishna consciousness, where there's not too much enjoyment, not too much. Where there's not Yeah. Too much enjoyment, where we get bewildered by that. And nor is there too little that we stay sane, you know. Not too much suffering. So we are in there like, according to our desires, we get things. But we can see the things they will have their end, you know. That we have some temporary happinesses and things that make us going, keep us going, and at the same time we have also reminders of the temporary nature of this place. So this is a positive point, you know, about if you would go up, then it would be a lot of nice, fun things, and we might just get lost in the fun, not forgetting, less of these reminders about the ultimate goal of life, really. And if you go down lower, you know, minus two, three, then it will be a lot of problems. We'll be completely engaged into this suffering, where we have difficulties also of thinking of Krishna. So, therefore, this planet here is a perfect situation for going. We see Socrates has a quote here, as to marriage or celibacy. He says, let a man take whichever course he will, he'll be sure to repent. So, it is like grounding us, you know. If we marry, then we'll have moments of repenting, and if we say so, we'll have moments of repenting. So both, we have both sides always, so that we do not fully get lost in the happiness of things, or fully get lost in the suffering. Because both sides, as well as marriage, celibacy, have all positive points to it. And, we, in outside society, we often see that, like if I go to my mother's side family, then some of these, they have become like taboos, you know, to talk about that. To talk about these reminders of this world, really. They become sometimes like taboos. Trying to make this place maybe like a higher planet or a place where there's enjoyment, and we try our best, we have society, how it's made up, they show the world seems so like happy, joyful, they try to show it this way, and the nasty things try to hide them and not talk about them and so forth. Like my mother's family, I can't really talk about these things, you know. Even though they're getting the hint more than I am, in a sense, like they're getting old. still, they won't talk about it because it might just perturb the enjoyment, the trying to enjoy this place, and This is also in the Sri Upanishad. There is a section about the knowledge and ignorance, vidya and avidya. I was preparing for verse 11 or something one time. There, Prabhupada is explaining that those who are in ignorance, they are mesmerized by the beauty of Maya, Sri, and they have some pretty low standard actually of happiness, and this is what also separates this place. Has it's pretty low standard of happiness really, that will satisfy some people. They settle for it, for this low standard of happiness, and others, we here, most of us here, we have something in common really, is that we do not really settle for this low standard of happiness. I went to outside school and had my period where it was like, but it remained a very pretty low standard of happiness. It was You know, it looked sometimes in the beginning quite nice, this, that, you know, like some glitters. Yeah. But it's pretty much a low step. Happens maybe in the beginning because it's something new. But as we hear often, chewing the chew, so it's quite a low standard and is often resorted to as a default, actually, when there's no other, they chew the chew because they don't have any high taste. So therefore this planet, is a nice place where we have, you know, a balance like this. And then we have these things that happen to us, let's say, mirrors and reeds, you know, because we want to see Krishna's mercy in everything, like, right? See things positive. But still, you know, negative things happen to us. This can be also compared to something that devotees should be aware of, is that when miseries happen to us, then it is, Prabhupada said in one purport of Krishna book, that it is the suffering that are the punishment, let's say, of the difference between the suffering of devotees and non-devotees, the punishment of a mother or the punishment of an enemy that has a different nature. The idea is that we learn something out of it from a mother and so forth, and thus these miseries here, we can see them as a punishment of a mother trying to learn us things, and in this way, if we realize that whatever is happening to us is consequent, like a mother will not punish you for no reason. Most of the time. So there is a specific reason there for you to get. So similarly, when we see things in this light, then we see like it's Krishna's. We have done something wrong in the past, and therefore we're getting this type of punishment, and it is minimized. Krishna is not so strict on these laws when it comes to his devotees. In this way, we can realize that it's our own reaction. And once that is done, if we can realize that this is all our own reaction, then we can really actually be tolerant. Because this is an important part of our philosophy where we have, in order to chant properly, we have the verse 300 peace from each other. And in this world, since we have both, we need to tolerate things, heat and cold, and happiness and distress. So tolerance is an important aspect of our philosophy. So this tolerance, when we realize that it is our own actions, that it is our own fault that we receive some affliction, pain, this and that, then we can accept them. And then we can be tolerant. And then once we are actually tolerant, then only we can actually be compassionate. This is Radha Swami who says this, not just me. That in order to be compassionate, we need to first be tolerant. And in order to be tolerant, we need to realize that it is our own reactions to our actions. And since we are here on planet Earth, it is quite often we once in a while, we do get some problems and so forth. Realizing that it's our own fault will help us tolerate it, and once we tolerate it, we can actually be compassionate, which is compassion leads to the dearmost service to Krishna, really, because when we are compassionate, we do what Krishna considers the dearest activity to him, to bring other souls to him, or preach his glories, which is equal to bring the souls to him. So, to preach his glories, that's the result of compassion. And this compassion, this will lead us to giving this to others, and giving this to others will lead us to getting the mercy of Krishna, which is really a conclusion of our goal, we could say, is to get the mercy of Krishna, to please Krishna. So that's how, if we know this, then we can probably, we have the guidelines of how to deal with them, how to live on the ground floor, zero. So at the same time, in our movement, there's some funny one-liners. It's like, we should not be too heavenly minded to be of any earthly use. So that's also part of the guidelines for Ground Zero, is that since we are in such a sometimes nice situation, very nice situations. So I spoke about how when not so nice things happen to us, and then when positive things happen to us, we should, which is another thing, like, we should work as if it is our responsibility, and pray as if it is it's all Krishna. I don't know how to say it properly, but I hope you get it. That we act in a way where it's all our responsibility, and we pray in a way that it's all Krishna's. So this will, help us balance how to live here, because we can also get a tendency of like, I'm not doing this, that. If unhappiness comes, happiness comes on its own accord. Unhappiness also comes on its own accord. And therefore, I don't need to do anything, but no, you do act for Krishna, because this will bring you the ultimate happiness. Okay, I'll end it. And if there's any questions or comments?
You mentioned that Krishna diminishes punishment for devotees. At the same time, it says that Krishna is impartial. How do you understand this?
Well, he's impartial. Diminishing to us is being impartial. Because, let's make an example. We have patients in the hospital and the doctors. So, taking care of the doctors would be taking care of the patients and the doctors. Being impartial to patients and doctors. Because you're investing in a good source for helping the patients, really. Or in a business example, then, where you have you invest in the person who will help. I don't know how to say business one, but do the one. Just we can see here, we can see ourselves as spiritual doctors, and since our activity is helping others, investing in us, diminishing our suffering so that we can. Give to others this knowledge is being impartial to them and impartial to us, really, because they are getting benefit from his partiality to us, and similarly we are getting, because he's being partial to us, they are getting because he's being partial to us as well. This is understood? Yeah, right? It came across.
Coming to that question, like Srila Prabhupada gives the example of father in our 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and of Chitsura Jarvas in the purport, that he says, no matter how generous or magnanimous the father is, but he has special affection for his son or for his children. So that explains that my Krishna has some affection towards his devotee, and but he's always impartial.
Mm-hmm.
very important, this point that you said, we're situated in this, this earth, and we have the opportunity to go on spiritual life. And it makes me remember, I think it's the fifth canto, and the demigods are praying to take birth in the earth, so they can have this short life and do devotional service, and they can come back to the spiritual world, not having 10,000 years as demigods, and maybe have a lot of sense enjoyment, and maybe forget about this, and to birth as a demigods can even fall to the position of very low position, like going to the animal kingdom also. So it's a very important point to say that we have to be positive that we're in this situation, and people doing spiritual life take this opportunity.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that point, that it's short. It's very quick.
Short life, yeah.
Short life, and you can do it in one life as well. Thank you.
I'd like to add something to the question of impartiality. In a Prabhupada's purport just a couple of days ago, he was mentioning how people become envious of devotees when they have opulent facilities. Like Sladadesh temple, the castle is so gorgeous. So someone may become envious that why should we enjoy so much, even though we don't have a conventional job, and some of us are just ringing the bell on the altar all day. So how do we deserve this? And Prabhupada mentions in the purport, but these people, we invite them, why don't you come and live with us? We have Christians, if you know, they follow the four regulative principles. And then they don't do it. So the point is that Krishna is impartial, that he gives everyone the opportunity to join. Yeah. All you have to do is follow his minimum, you know, token behavior rules. But when you do join, then he's very partial. Then he favors the devotees like anything. So in other words, that favoring of the devotees, he wants to give it to everyone. And it is available to everyone in this way.
This connection between this compassion and the tolerance that one cares for me, because one can be tolerant because you understand that we get what we deserve, because of our previous actions. And we can also think that other people also get what they deserve, yeah? But like in intolerance means that you actually cannot tolerate the sufferings of others, yeah? And if I think that I'm suffering because of my previous actions, I tolerate it, and I can also like develop this kind of mentality, okay, others also they suffer because of their previous actions, and they can also like tolerate it. And why should I go to them and try to relieve them from their suffering? So that everybody is tolerant. I tolerate the most tolerant. How this actually tolerating my suffering, our always actually invokes like desire to help others, compassion.
Yeah, the what you mentioned, that it's a funny thing, not intolerant to the, or you can't tolerate the suffering of others, it's a twist to it, that is. I guess Varma's mom would know. Maybe someone else would like to say something.
The point you were trying to make, in the lecture, I think this is what it's referring to, that tolerance breeds compassion. If you become tolerant and compassionate, perhaps it wasn't completely clear, but we saw. is making the point that, well, if I have to tolerate so much, then why do I have to be compassionate with these people who are not tolerating?
Well, then,
so the thing is that for a devotee, if someone is a devotee, then as much as he's tolerating, he's realizing how difficult it is to tolerate. And so he doesn't want other people to have such a hard time. He wants to make it easier for them. That's a devotee. But if someone is not a devotee, then he may also not be compassionate as a result.
Yeah, like the goal is compassion. I say we start with compassion. Because that is for that we do need the tolerance. And for that. It's a nice point that Vasily Prabhu mentioned that. It's a good point.
There's also something to be said for not tolerating certain things. And part of the problem is we do tolerate them. So, I mean, it's not that we're actually taught to tolerate ignorance, although some devotees perhaps get into tolerating dirtiness or whatever. We shouldn't tolerate those things. When we talk about tolerance, we're talking about tolerating the dualities of the material world. But we shouldn't tolerate unhappiness unnecessarily. So similarly, the devotee may want the non-devotee to learn to tolerate happiness and distress, but the devotee doesn't tolerate the unhappiness of others, nor does he want them to tolerate their happiness. So we have to just be a little, I think, discerning what we mean by tolerate. That's another way of looking at it, possibly.
Yeah.
And part of somewhere in the Bhagavatam, it actually says that the self is envious, or the soul is envious of its own self. Ignorant people are envious of their own selves. This is quite an interesting statement. In other words, they're not really concerned. Even when we're selfish, we're not actually concerned for our own happiness, ironically. Anyway, we need to be a little discerning what we mean. Or tolerating what we tolerate and what we don't tolerate.
Yeah, what I would think is that in the goal of wanting to preach, you need to have compassion. And in that line of thought, then we need some type of tolerance, which is an intolerance against the unhappiness of the other souls.
You're saying we should start with compassion, but how do you feel compassion isn't something you can artificially feel. For example, Srila Prabhupada had great compassion for materialists who think they're enjoying, beachgoers who spend their time in the sun. Prabhupada had compassion for them. But how am I supposed to have compassion for those people when I think they're enjoying and I wish I could be doing something like that? So I can't have compassion unless I'm actually renounced or detached or free from them. So this is kind of question.
No, that's a mistake from myself. It's not start with compassion, but more rather what I wanted to say that starting with preaching, really. Now, if we understand the importance of preaching, and then, okay, how to get there, okay, we need to feel it. We can artificially preach, but it comes much better across when we actually have this compassion. And then, how do we get that? In that light, that's what I more wanted to say. I made a mistake by saying start with compassion. I meant to say start with knowledge that preaching is important or makes Krishna happy. Then we understand, okay, for preaching we need to have compassion. Okay, for compassion we need to have some type of tolerance, some type of acceptance that the things we go through as our own reaction.
What's so? How do you make a distinction? Like, there is a theory of the, like, like we have a kind of spiritual approach, is like we have the approach of somebody slaps you, turn the other cheek, and then on the other side we have a Krishna teaching Arjuna. So how do we know when to not to fight back, or when to just give up, just accept everything is karma, or just or when to how do we then know if there's the relations of Krishna in different origins?
Quick thing would be, in my mind comes up, is what pleases Krishna. Again, someone else wants to elaborate or say more, but I thought like what pleases Krishna, I mean, of course we need to know that, and that's by different means we can get to know that, but the ideas of pleases Krishna, like ethically speaking, like Yudhishthira shouldn't have lied, right? But you know, the higher principles would please Krishna. Arjuna is pleases Krishna. He has a bigger plan, bigger vision, etc. Okay, I'm not.
I have a question about this. How does tolerance leads to compassion? It's often it happens that we get absorbed in one's own life, our own problems, we see it in a magnifying glass, and it looks so big that we forget, we don't reach, but we just get in our own lives, our own problems. So if we tolerate our problems, then we can look for preaching Krishna consciousness.
Last comment question.
I was thinking not all tolerance is everything, because those are the Rani Kashyapu things we are talking about in so much channels. This is actually leading to compassion, opposite. So I guess the every question you can do it for the right reason is in the center. So then it leads to compassion, but it's not.
If you look in the same chapter of the Gita, when Krishna talks about tolerate in regards to duty, basically, and then the result is one becomes dhira, fixed in mind. That's the result of tolerance, according to the second chapter of the Gita. But then tolerance is measured against dharma, because that's what the inability to tolerate happiness and distress is what draws us away from our dharma. It's one way of looking.
Yeah.